Well, welcome to www.spirituality.org.za. It's been a while since I've put anything up on the website, but today I'm wanting to upload some pre-recorded Bible studies. These Bible studies were recorded by myself, and they are of the presiding bishop of the Methodist Church of Ghana, and they were recorded at the Methodist Conference, which was held in Cape Town in September of this year. I apologize for the sound quality in advance. My recording wasn't great, and I didn't have a good mic, so please just crank up your iPod if you're wanting to listen to them. If you have any comments or questions about the Bible studies, then please check us out on the website. It's www.spirituality.org.za, and on the right-hand side of the page, you'll find a link to my email address, which is digitaldion@gmail.com. Well, thanks for tuning in, and the Bible studies will be up next.
Bishop Stone, we thank you for another opportunity that you give us to share what you have for us, especially to share your word. We pray that you guide us by your Spirit, open our hearts and our minds to receive your word, and that enable us by the same Spirit to live by your word. So that in and through us, not only you transforming us, but through us the world will be transformed by your power and your presence. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have met here today at the conference with the theme, Come Holy Spirit, Heal and Transform Your Church. It is very encouraging to know that our churches in Southern Africa, as well as the church in Ghana, our theme as we reflect again on the Holy Spirit. We have been witnessing. The theme for our conference was witnessing the power of the Holy Spirit. Where you come, Holy Spirit, heal and transform your church. First of all, I want to say this is a generational prayer. The theme is a prayer that the people of God from generation to generation have cried out to the Spirit of God to do something about themselves and about their society. So it's a conference that is being held under this strong cry, this prayer. Or indeed, we learn from the book of Revelation that when the early church was confronted with persecutions and death, they also with groaning cried out to the Lord, Maranatha, our Lord, come. In Revelation 22:20. And the early Methodists also prayed a similar prayer, as you find in their hymns and songs. Hymns and songs that today we continue to sing, especially in the Methodist Church Ghana. They called on the Spirit divine to descend with all her gracious powers. Sometimes when I sing some of those songs, I wonder whether what they were requesting or asking was not too much. But to ask that God should descend through His Spirit with all her gracious powers, you wonder how can we stand when such powers really begin to act. And yet that was the yearning in their hearts too, as they prayed. In one of such hymns, I think what earnestly prayed, and I, Come Holy Spirit, heavenly doubt, with all thy quickening powers, kindle a flame of sacred love in these cold hearts of ours. Today we have met here at this conference and joined our brothers and sisters throughout the generations and as part of the World Methodist family in the Southern Africa, we also make a similar cry. And it's a cry of an exclamation of deep longing and appeal. Come, Holy Spirit, heal and transform your church. To some extent, the prayer, come, Holy Spirit, is a contradiction. We are asking the one who is always with us to come. And as the Creator Spirit, she is always with us. For our very being depends upon her person. And she is always present with us, like a mother who gives us birth, like a mother who controls and guides and nurtures us. And so she is with us. Yet we know that this prayer is absolutely necessary, that we are to cry that she comes. It is a cry asking the Holy Spirit to draw near, because at the moment, as her church, we are experiencing emptiness, overwhelmed with alienation and abandonment, and in some cases, confusion. Deep down in our hearts, we are in a world of injustice and a world of contradiction. So in our hearts, in our heads, in our minds, and in our emotions, we sense a loss of the living presence of the Spirit among us, especially in our church. So it is necessary that we pray the prayer. It is a prayer for something more fundamental than asking for gifts or asking the Spirit to deal with particular challenges or problems that we face in church and society. Even though these are necessary to face them, this prayer might be addressed to us personally. So what we are asking specifically is that the Holy Spirit should disclose her presence among us. He should disclose her presence to us individually and as a body, the church. Charles Wesley captured this deep longing in our hearts for the Spirit in one of his hymns. Come, Holy Ghost, all quickening fire, come and in me delight to rest. Drawn by the lure of strong desire, overcome and consecrate my breast, the temple of my soul prepare, and fix thy sacred presence there. Eager for thee I ask and pant, so strong the principle divine carries me out with sweet constraint, till all my hallowed soul is thine, plunged in the Godhead's deepest sea, and lost in thy immensity. Charles Wesley is not just invoking a transcendent power to deliver him from this or that affliction or distress, even though these are all important. Rather, what Charles Wesley is praying for is that he will have a unique encounter with the Holy Spirit, such that the Spirit will permanently fix her divine presence in his life. A presence that will be seen in his work and daily experiences. And when that happens, there will certainly be healing and transformation in his life. And his life then will affect positively his immediate communities and societies as a whole. And this is what I think we should also desire at this conference and beyond, when we pray, come Holy Spirit, heal and transform your church. Indeed, asking as leaders of our church, Methodist family, that that transformation would begin with us. It is a prayer of conviction also. When confronted with the truth, and I was happy as I listened to the prayer that began this devotion, that the presence of the Spirit challenges and reveals to us our emptiness and woe. Our Lord Jesus Christ told the early disciples and us that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit who convicts the world and us of sin and brings judgment as well as healing to us. But in some ways, healing begins with judgment. When the Spirit indwells us, she makes us face up to the realities of our circumstances. She uses all means, both secular and religious, to do this. And surely, when our consciences are haunted by images of millions of starving human beings and of so many children dying in torment, it is the Spirit convicting and judging us. And when we are disturbed by the vicious destruction of the environment and the ecological system, it is the Spirit, the Creator Spirit, speaking to us. And when we are convicted that as the church we cannot tolerate being normally accustomed to the violence and injustice, it is the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Sometimes our human nature, such that to cope with even violence, we try to make it numb. The Spirit brings conviction and judgment because she wants to heal and transform our societies and communities and our nation by beginning with us. And that's why the prayer is so appropriate. Come, Holy Spirit, heal and transform your church. In a sense, Holy Spirit, begin with us. We live in a world that needs healing. We need a world that needs to be transformed. And Holy Spirit, do it, beginning with your church. And I think we are bold even to pray, however nervously, that as conference members, Holy Spirit, begin with us. That healing process that we've met in your place. My brothers and sisters, we will recognize that the Bible makes it clear that healing and transformation in societies begin with the church itself. For you will recall that when Isaiah went into the temple and saw the holiness and the greatness of God, the first thing that happens to him was he himself becoming aware of his own sinfulness. And it was after that touch of God's presence in his life that he was sent out into the world to give God's message to God's people. And this morning, one Bible passage that I want us to look at very briefly for this is Ezekiel chapter 47. And if you have your Bibles with you, you may want to turn with me to Ezekiel 47. We will look at this part of it today, and tomorrow we will look at the same text again. Ezekiel 47, 1 to 12. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and behold, water was issuing from below the threshold of the temple towards the east, but the temple faces east. The water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out by way of the north gate, and led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces towards the east. And behold, the water was trickling out on the south side. Going along eastward with a measuring line in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. And he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was knee deep. Again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was waist deep. Again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be passed through. And he said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. And as I went back, I saw on the bank of the river very many trees on the one side and on the other. And he said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah and enters the sea. When the water flows into the sea, the water will become fresh. And wherever the river goes, every living creature that swims will live, and there will be very many fish. For this water goes there, that the water of the sea may become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes. Fishermen will stand beside the sea, from Engedi to the Engedi. It will be a place for the spreading of nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They are to be left for salt. And on the banks, on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month, because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing. This is indeed a river that brings healing and cleansing to a land that had seen such evil that it could bear its own defilement no more. And therefore, as one commentator has written, the evil in the places have vomited the people into the exile. The man guiding Ezekiel in this vision brings him back to the entrance of the temple, where he sees water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. More specifically, the water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, indeed from the altar of God. This will help us to see that the healing is not from any human ingenuity. It is from God Himself, from the altar. The source of the water was that the temple, the very presence of God. And it is this presence of the Spirit, that indeed brings the healing that begins in the temple itself. And this is where we want to look at this morning. The surprising thing is that although no tributaries are mentioned, the river keeps increasing in the volume and depth. And Ezekiel is aware of this because his guide repeatedly measured off 500 yards or 457 meters and then leads him through the water so that he can experience the depth for himself. And I want you to know that the river, before it gets out, it must first fill the temple. We, the people of God, as we find in the scriptures, we are the temples of the living God, as the Spirit Himself dwells in us. The question from the angelic guide, Son of Man, have you seen this? Is to check that the prophet was understanding what he was experiencing. And so this river must first fill the temple, as I said, before it enters outside. The temple itself first needs filling to the full before the overflowing into the outside. And you know, in the Bible, water is sometimes used as a symbol expressing the Holy Spirit, the symbolic expression of the Spirit. In Ezekiel, the Spirit is described as a water that will be poured out on the people of God. You find in Ezekiel 39, verse 29, God saying, "And I will not hide my face anymore from them. When I pour out my Spirit upon the house of Israel, declares the Lord." One of the joyful things about our faith is that God, even when He is angry with us, will still want to come to us and draws us to Himself, that He might heal us and not destroy us. Even in the midst of His anger and judgment, there is this loving concern to heal and to transform by His Spirit. And He begins this with His own people. The history of Christian faith has a lot to say to us about this. And our own heritage as Methodists is an eloquent expression of this. For our church was born because one man, struggling to know and to experience the presence of God for himself, that fateful day, had to go unwillingly to a place of fellowship. And there, about 8:45, he felt his heart strangely warm. And then he himself experienced a touch of God upon his life. And there he felt that his sins are forgiven. Assurance was given to him that he too has experienced the love of God. The Spirit of God had touched the life of John Wesley. A week or so before that, Charles Wesley too, his life has been touched by the same Spirit. And our church was born because these things God began with them. And from there, in the temples they preached, and later they were pushed, and into the streets they went, like that river that gushed out from the temple into outside. And so my brothers and sisters, as Methodists, we have a heritage. And our prayer, come, O Holy Spirit, heal and transform your church. It's a prayer that our brothers and sisters in the past have prayed. It's a generational prayer of which we also pray today. My prayer is that during this conference we will ask and pray the prayer in our discussions. Come, Holy Spirit, heal and transform your church, beginning with me. Let us not just make it simply a conference theme, but just a prayer. For there are many things that we will discuss. There are many things we find in the world that needs to be transformed, needs healing. We all live in countries with all its pain, with all its stress, with all its inequalities. And as the Spirit touches us to do something about those things in our nations, let us not forget, the Spirit is touching us, drawing our attention to this, but she wants to begin with us. And I pray that we will allow him to do this with us. If anyone says, Jesus said, let him come to me and drink, and whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his heart will flow rivers of the living water. And now, as the scripture says, this indeed is the Spirit of God that Jesus was talking about. And may he fill us today, this morning, in our deliberations, beginning with us in this process of healing and transformation. Tomorrow we will look at what happens when the people of God are healed and transformed by the Spirit. What impact do they make in the world around them? Shall we pray?
Well, you've been listening to www.spirituality.org.za. This has been a podcast, which is a pre-recorded Bible study of Dr. Robert, the presiding bishop of the Methodist Church of Ghana. Thanks for listening in, and I'll be posting the second Bible study a little bit later. And then I hope also to post a recording of Dr. Jennifer Slater, who is the dean of the Catholic Seminary, the National Catholic Seminary in Pretoria, and she is speaking about theological education, ministry, and the devout life. So thanks for tuning in, and do come and visit us again. You've been listening to the Spirituality Podcast on www.spirituality.org.za. Goodbye.